Welcome to another Astros podcast.
Welcome back, Robert Ford, joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. And yesterday you got two runs against the Rangers in the top of the third inning. Looked like you were on your way to having a pretty good ball game, but then give up three runs in the bottom of the third and seem to turn in the Rangers' favor after that.
Yeah, they did a good job of getting to McHugh early, and then the tack on home runs by Prince. And the homer late ended up being too tall of a task for us to get over. So I think we played a decent game. It's another close loss in Texas, which is something that unfortunately we've had too many of. But a good game didn't go in our favor. We could have done a few more things with our opportunities, but we walked out of there with another loss.
Yeah, Colin McHugh had been pitching pretty well, but maybe his worst outing since the first outing in New York. Didn't make it out of the fourth inning. What did you see with Colin McHugh?
Yeah, it was a strange outing for him because early in the game he was very sharp and finishing at bats, with all of his pitches. And I liked the way the first two innings went. And it unraveled for him in the third inning, and he got a little bit tentative. He got a little out of whack. It didn't look like he was finishing his pitches. He lowered his arm slot a little bit. So he scattered the pitches a little bit the third and fourth inning. So when I went out to get him, I just told him it wasn't his day. It looked like he really did go from having a good aggressive approach to being a little bit tentative, and that cost him for an early out.
Astros will finish up this road trip in St. Louis Tuesday and Wednesday. Ground ball left side. Profar started in, now backs off field, slings it across, and it's just in time to get Correa. And Correa limping after crossing the bag there, and now gets down into a sitting position as Rich Dower will go out and check on him. Not sure what happened with Correa, but he was limping after crossing first base, going down the right field line on that ground out. And Jeremiah Randall, Astros head athletic trainer, is out to take a look along with manager A.J. Hinch.
Well, the best you can hope for here is a cramping situation with this heat today. And the worst case scenario is probably somewhere the ankle or hamstring type of situation.
And Jeremiah Randall looks like he's looking at the...
Oh, I just saw it right at the end of the bag. He touched the back of the bag and rolled his left ankle slightly on that last stride.
And that's exactly what Jeremiah Randall appears to be looking at.
In the fifth inning, Carlos Correa leaving the ball game with a left ankle injury. Got heard running down to first base. Looked like his foot hit the bag. What's Correa's status?
Yeah, he'll be down today. But I think we've avoided a bigger injury. X-rays came back negative. He's moving around fine. I think it scared him quite a bit just because you don't like having that sensation of, especially for him who's had, ankle troubles in the past on the other leg. So he's going to be okay. It was a collective sigh for us when he could walk off the field, under his own power. He's a little bit sore and stiff today, as you would expect, but we still hope to see him sometime this series.
And you had Tyler White DHing in the game yesterday, so rather than lose your DH, you wound up getting to an interesting configuration with Jose Altuve at shortstop for the first time as a professional, Tony Kemp getting an opportunity at second base for the first time in the big leagues. And, I mean, every infielder is always excited when they get to play short, right?
Yeah, there was when I told Altuve, hey, you're going to short, he's like, really? And I said, yeah, you are. So it was fun for him. He practices over there all the time. And yeah. I joked with him that he's got to be ready because he is more of an emergency shortstop. The situation called for it. And in a down game, had we taken the lead, I probably would have gone back to the normal configuration and lost the DH. But given that Correa left mid-game, I wanted to give ourselves ample opportunity to not have to play a National League-style game. And Jose got his shortstop debut, and it was short-lived. He may not see it again, but for the few innings that he got to play, he felt like a big league shortstop.
Taking on a Tampa Bay Rays team that they've scored more runs via the home run than the other team in baseball. In many ways, kind of a mirror of the Astros team that we saw last year.
Yeah, they do. They swing and miss quite a bit. They pull a ton. They hit a lot of home runs. They do their damage. So, we'll have to keep the ball in the ballpark. And they do swing and miss quite a bit. Some of our strikeout guys could have some good nights. And hopefully Lance kicks that off tonight with his power breaking ball. So, the dangerous, potent teams are of course, sort of sleeping giants a lot where we've seen it with our team sometimes where you lay in the weeds a little bit, you end up with a 2 or 3 run homer, and that can be the difference in a ball game. So keeping the ball in the ballpark is going to be key.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
Got it.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
The following minute of Astros history featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
On this day in 2001, the Astros almost let one get away at the ballpark at Arlington. They took a 3-2 lead into the bottom of the eighth, and Jay Powell came in to hold the line. But the Rangers had other ideas. Alex Rodriguez reached when Powell dropped the ball covering first base. Gabe Kapler singled and Ruben Sierra doubled, and all of a sudden it was 4-3 Rangers. But the Astros weren't finished. Jeff Zimmerman walked Jeff Bagwell to open the ninth. After two strikeouts, Richard Hidalgo drew another free pass. Orlando Berced pinch hit for Vinny Castilla and stunned the Rangers crowd with a home run to put the Astros back on top 6-4. I had a very good bench in my years at the helm, and it paid off on this day in 2001.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid. Put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. This is Steve Sparks, and I've got Jeff Blum, who is a broadcaster and obviously a former Astro, and now works for Root Sports Southwest with the Astros television telecast. And I want to talk to you about the draft that's been going on the last 2 days. And with the Astros getting through the first seven rounds today, take me back to when you got drafted by the Montreal Expos.
It was a good time. And by the way, good to be on with you, Sparky. Finally, it's been 3 years. But no, it was good. You know, it brings back a lot of fond memories. I didn't have one of those crazy stories where I was expecting a first round pick. I knew I was going to get drafted. I wanted to get drafted. I was hoping for the top 10 rounds, but back in my day, as they say, I didn't have a cell phone. So the first day of the draft goes by, and I believe they went through five rounds back then. And I just the next day decided I'm going to go to the mall, hang out with the family and friends, and left the house, came back. There was a message on my machine. I believe it was from Bill Stoneman, and Jim Beattie was the GM at the time. So I gave Jim a call back because I didn't have a cell phone. You know, it wasn't, and I didn't have a pager. Wasn't that technologically advanced? And I just made a phone call back, and they said, "Hey, congratulations! You've been drafted in the seventh round by the Montreal Expos." And I want to say, within 2 days, they had one of their area scout in my living room with a contract, signed a contract for $40,000, and I got a plane ticket to Burlington, Vermont.
The first offer, is that what you took, or was there a little bit of negotiation process?
There was a little bit of negotiation. I think that the bonus number stayed the same, but I think we actually negotiated like an extra $20,000 for school because I was at Cal at the time, and I wanted to cover whatever schooling I had left, and they went a little above and beyond for the school part of it. That was about it.
And then you just get you take off, and you're a seventh rounder. And explain to people what that's like as a seventh rounder, when you go meet with all the guys that are just fresh out of the draft, what it means that a team has a little bit at stake with you with that signing bonus, because you get a little bit more preferential treatment the higher you get drafted.
Yeah, that definitely does happen. It was interesting that there were a couple guys in the draft. I think Hiram Boca Chica was the number one pick that year for the Expos, and Mike Thurman was the number one pick. So Mike Thurman, coming out of college, went to Burlington, Vermont with me. So we had a couple of guys out of that draft playing for that ball club. But a little extra, you know, rope on that leash, you know, as far as trying to figure it out. But I was lucky enough to get in there and play with some really good guys. We had great teammates. I think Trace Cocolette was on that team. So we had a good group core of guys, and we played well together, surprisingly enough, and won some ball games. I got hot with the bat, and, you know, it was kind of crazy. The craziest thing to me was I played a full college season, played short season A ball, and then they sent me to Australia I went to instructs for 2 weeks and then straight to Australia for 2.5 months for winter ball.
So no break at all.
Dude, no break, man. I thought my arms and legs were going to fall off because I had, you know, you play 35 to 50 games in college and you get, you know, 6 months off. Now all of a sudden I've played for about 8 months straight and I'm in Australia, come home and I'm home for a month and a half, barely get to have, you know, a New Year's party with my friends before I'm back at spring training. So, you know, the initiation into pro ball was some serious shock treatment.
Last thing with Jeff Blum, that the Ranger series, losing 3 out of 4. It seems like this team in particular, and AJ just mentioned to us when we were just listening, the personalities back with this team the last 6 weeks. Do you think they can shrug that series off and play good ball here?
I really hope so, and I think that it's such an extreme situation in playing against the Rangers that you almost have to not necessarily laugh it off because it's amazing what those guys are able to do. But I thought a lot of that little swagger came back when they beat the Rangers that third game of that series, and I was like, okay, these guys got a little bit back. But I think they've just finally, you know, not caved in, but they've given into the fact that they can't do anything against those guys. But it's nice to get out of there, so I'm sure just getting out of the vicinity of the Dallas area is going to reinvigorate these guys a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, that is a lingering, nasty, gnarly feeling, what we just saw in Dallas.
That's right. Well, that's Jeff Blum. Jeff, thanks for catching up, as always, and thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, Sparky.
Pitch your questions to the booth. Email your questions to radio@astros.com. Robert Ford and Steve Sparks fielding your baseball questions. Radio@astros.com.